we know the formula, what to do, and the results. It's very beautifully set by Srila Prabhupada. Earlier in my work, I used to travel a lot, and that's something amazing occurred to me, that any country, any ISKCON temple you go, and the formula is same. You start Mangalarti, Tulsi Puja, you chant your rounds, then Shringararti, your Srimad Bhagavatam class, and then you do rest of your, the residents will do their service, grihasthas will go for their work, and that's how the day is. You feel at home, and that's the glory of Srila Prabhupada's mission, you know, the way he has formulated our sampradaya. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it very possible for any common man to follow through his instructions given to Rupa Goswami, which is that Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, regulated devotional service. And in Bhakti Rasamrut Sindhu, the mood of getting that Lord's mercy is the first important quality a devotee should have, is Dainya Bodhika, that yes, I'm a beggar and please give me the mercy. And that's why our Acharya Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that very beautiful song, Ohe Vaishnava Thakura, Doyara Sagora. He was sitting in front of Lord Shiva's temple, and that time his heart was overwhelmed with emotions, and then he started singing this prayer. So that is Dainya Bodhika. And we understand in this age, going through that rigid path is not possible for our day-to-day life. So we believe in Kripa Siddha. And when I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the important and very appealing pastime of the Lord was Bali Maharaj, because he's a Kripa Siddha. Vamandev bestowed mercy upon him, and he's a Mahajan, and we follow his footsteps. So we know the formula now. And instead of mental speculation part, where, what we need to do, and who, what is the root cause of it. And the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us that Janmadyasayatonvayat, where the Srila Prabhupada's translation says, O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna, because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. So clear. The beginning itself, we get the answer of root cause in IT world, for any issues, for any problems, they do the RCA, root cause analysis. And in our sampradaya, before the question, the root cause analysis is done. Or what is the root cause of everything? Sarva Karana Karanam, Krishna himself. So let's go back to Lord Brahma's mental speculation. And after, in a 14th chapter of 10th canto, after Brahma Vimohan Leela, Lord Brahma actually reveals his heart to the Lord. In the 7th verse of 14th chapter, he says, in time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of snow or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars, and other luminaries. But among these learned men, who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended onto the surface of the earth for the benefit of all living entities? Here is Lord Brahma. He is revealing his heart. You are so glorious. So, and our Acharya, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, gives a very beautiful commentary on this verse. He says, great personalities like Lord Shankarshan actually have counted the number of atoms on the earth and even the molecules in the entire universe. Yet, even such personality as Shankarshan, who has been continuously chanting the glories of the Lord since time immemorial, has not even approached a final count of the glories of the Lord. So, 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita tells, Lord says that, with the spark of my splendor, I can create, maintain, and destroy innumerable universes like this. And that's the glorious Lord, Sarva Karana Karanam. Then in the 14th and 15th verse, we will quickly touch upon, Lord Brahma says, Narayanastvam nahi sarvadehinam atmasya disha akhila loka sakshi narayanongam narabhu jalayanam jalayat tachapi satyam na tavaiva maya. What's the translation? Beautiful narration here. As you, not the original Narayan, he's addressing the Lord Krishna after Brahma Vyoman Leela, or O Supreme Controller, since you are the soul of every embodied being, and Radha Vakulananda Bhagwan ki jai, Shritaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gaurmitai ki jai. Are you not the original Narayan, O Supreme Controller? Since you are the soul of every embodied being and the eternal witness of all created realms, indeed, Lord Narayan is your expansion, and he is called Narayan because he is the generating source of all primeval water of the universe. He is real, not a product of your illusory Maya. So here, Lord Brahma is, as yesterday's Shyamari Prabhu was explaining the verse, he was in the Garbhodak ocean, and then here Lord Brahma is saying this: you are the root cause of everything. You are the real, not the product of illusory Maya. Everything comes from you. And then he says, my dear Lord, if your transcendental body, which shelters the entire universe, is actually lying upon the water, then why were you not seen by me when I searched for you? And why, though I could not envision you properly within my heart, did you then suddenly reveal yourself? So what Lord Brahma is telling us here, he's the Lord of our Sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. He's telling us that it is Krishna himself. If he decides to reveal, then he will. It is not our endeavor. It is not by our efforts that there is a possibility that yes, Lord will reveal. And that's what Srila Rupa Goswami is telling us here. Dainya Bodhika. We need to seek that mercy. And that should be the mood. And then after Brahma Vimohan Leela, after Lord Brahma's prayer, I was talking about that Shukdev Goswami's revelation, that unless and until the person comes to the point of I'm not this body. This body is mine. And that is the beginning of the self-realization. Then in the 58th verse of that 14th chapter, which is a famous verse, Samashritaye Padapallavaplavam Mahatpadam Punya Shomurare Bhavan Budhir Vatsa Padam Param Padam 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 Yad Vipadam Natesham. What's the translation of that? For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of Murademon, the killer. The ocean of the material world is like the water contained in calf's footprint. Their goal is Parampadam, Vaikuntha, the supreme abode. The place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. For devotees, he gives conviction, as we were saying, and for the mental speculation, it's just a game. And here comes the story of Shripad Narad Muni. We all know the story that even if the learned scholar, that Brahman, when he came to know that Lord is trying to put the elephant or the camel in some cases through the eye of the needle, and the Brahman said, oh, that's not impossible, you don't know anything. Whereas the cobbler said, yes, Lord can do anything, I accept it. So that is the conviction and mental speculation, that Brahman was just following the mental speculation, whereas the devotee, the cobbler, was saying, yes, I accept it. And that is the inconceivable potency. Lord can do anything. And that's what Lord says in the 58th verse of the 18th chapter. Machitaha sarva durgani mat prasadat karishyasi atha chetvam aham karan shrosyasi vinangshasi. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So, very clear instruction towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, last chapter, that yes, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. Very important point. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, means mental speculation, which includes that, and not hearing me, you will be lost. So, in summary, what we talked about today is Lord Brahma was bewildered and started speculating what is the root cause. Second point we talked about is in material world, there is a strong tendency to speculate. Primary reason is to gratify the senses and massage the false ego. Third aspect we talked about is intelligent person asks the questions, who am I? What is my real identity? What is the purpose of my life? Why am I suffering? And what is real happiness? And then there are two paths. One is that rigid path of Jnana Marga, and which is there is no guarantee, as Dhyana Vasthita Tadgate Namanasa Pashyanti Yam Yogi. Yogis have been doing that for thousands and thousands of years, and still they haven't come to the conclusion of understanding the truth, the Supreme Lord. So then the second part is Bhakti Marga, which is what we are following. Those two paths we talked about. And in Bhakti Marga, the most important point, the 58th verse, where Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita that he will reveal himself as per our endeavors and capacity to take us back to him if we follow his instructions. So I think that's what today's verse and the discussion was. I will stop here. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, bro.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I just would like to share more or less like a personal reflection / question.
Sure.
When we study these pastimes and when you kind of boil it down, And Prabhupada says here, the most intelligent man is he who tries to find the cause of his personal existence. Yeah. Many people, they do this. They do truly inquire about the nature of the existence. But the difference between, let's say, those which are engaged in science or different denominations, different cultures, and they still ask the questions of existence from different perspective, is the difference boils down to Shraddha, to faith.
Yeah.
So we engage the faith in the Vedic philosophy. They engage their faith in their respective traditions. Atheists, even when they claim science, but it is nature, is based on faith. Still the faith in the sense of axiomatic truth and other concepts are still present there. So how we can take this verse, for instance, or this perspective of Brahma, and understand that how we should engage our faith in, because our devotional advancement is based on faith. Like, we have different paths. So how we can boil this down to having faith in the scriptures, faith in the conclusions, and naturally the second step after faith is implementation,
yeah,
or practice. So can we say that faith is equal to the level of our practice?
Yeah, okay, that's a good, brilliant one. So the science or the material studies are based on the theories, and that faith is this must have happened, which suits the ideas and the speculations of the different people. Somebody will believe the Big Bang theory, somebody will believe that interstellar medium theory, and so on and so forth. Somebody will believe the Darwin's theory that for the later stage, that this is how the monkey and amoeba and all that stuff, because it suits that person's mentality. As the ego and the massage for the ego continues, that person will start believing the theories, and it is all based on the first based on the sense perceptions. Pratyaksha Jnana. Prati means across, Aksha means I. So whatever the sense perception is, that's what the faith of those people based on, especially the atheists or those who do not accept there is the higher power, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is their faith, and that's why it is flickering. It keeps changing. If someone says that, no, in their idea of Shastrartha is basically discussing different concoctions together. And if someone can say, I can prove that your theory of particles is wrong. Example is in physics, the first Newton's theory of particles, then came Huygens' theory of waves, and then Fermi, Dirac, Planck, and all other people, they came up with their own ideas. And that whole concoction, still, there is no 100% conclusion. Everyone keeps discussing that. Whereas Vedic tradition, the first point is the root cause, Sarva Karana Karanam, Ishvara Parama Krishna. When he is telling something, that is the fourth level of knowledge. It starts with, not with the Pratyaksha Jnana. We understand everything in the perspective of that deductive knowledge, that which is coming from the Lord himself. Whereas in atheistic or non-spiritual, non-religious traditions, people have faith according to their own mentality, in their own ideas. Here, your mentality is, you have to tune yourself to the knowledge coming from the Lord. And that's the difference of that faith. Does that give any?
I would say the question, underlying question, can be how we can allow others to develop faith. In because, like, for instance, you cannot grasp these concepts logically and yeah, by knowledge. These concepts about the creation, cosmos, manifestation, all these different planets, planetary systems, they scientifically, at least in my perspective, they're difficult to grasp. So our acceptance is based on faith in the Shastra. So question can be, how we can transplant faith into the hearts of others to accept the conclusions of the Shastras? That is the real question, and that's how it works.
Yeah. Now, if that person is inclined to and to accept the spiritual path, then they're atheists, means they don't want to, but there is a lot of envy in the heart. Good one. My personal experience in that area is when you have the relationship, when that loving exchange. Yeah, of course. When somebody is, you trust someone, when your father and mother is telling you that, yes, this person is nice, you follow him, you be with him. And when that small child says that, yes, because my father and mother has said that this person is good, so that small child will go with him. If the same parents say that, stay away from this person, then the child will stay away. Our position is something similar to that. That loving exchange is necessary. As Srila Giriraj Maharaj says that the first point of happiness, which everyone is in search of, is that sweet relationship and simplicity, the natural products. So that's the important point. Obviously, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about the four types of people who come to the spiritual path, for lower motivations and two higher motivations. That first is a bhaya, fear. Second is greed, lobha. Third one is kartavya buddhi. Because there is a supreme lord, he is giving me everything, so I need to have that relationship. And last one is prema. So, but that will come later, when there is a loving exchange. Oh yes, now I need to accept something. That according to the conditioning and the receptivity, the swikruti of the person. Is that? Thank you. Yes, sir.
Moving. You know, I just give an example, really. As I look at my hand, I look at my limb, I'm thinking, where does this all come from? What is this thinking? What is my hand for? You just examine it. You just got to understand that, you know, there's something, I'm getting old. Why? You know, it's obvious that we have to understand that we don't understand where it all comes from, but we must seek that place from where we come. Somehow or other, I just look at this and look around me, and we're all different personalities. Yes. We get along, we don't get along, but somehow we should know that we're all parts and parcels of Krishna. That's what Shastra says. But if we don't have that, we don't have that faith, and we only believe in those things that this body is for today, and not thinking, it doesn't matter, you know, I'm going to enjoy now. It doesn't matter. And I found, you know, so many people, when you ask them on the street, you know, these questions, and they used to do census, you know, the Sankirtan, when just to make people ask the question of themselves. And that's a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my sort of realization.
Thank you for sharing. Yes. Any other?
I didn't have that love to begin with, but I had the inquiring mind, so that's what gave me the answer to have the desire, to find out. And I think it's gradual. You don't develop that love instantly. It's you know, you have to learn from it and
yes.
and build on it. And then you see moments when suddenly light comes in your life and you feel good. There's a good feel good factor, and then you want more of it. You want to know more. You seek out more, and you do develop that love gradually. So it doesn't appear just like that. As Prabhu says, you got to have the
yes.
Yeah. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yes, Prabhu. I would like to give a quick little bit. Ruben Prabhu, I will come to you. But the famous prayer from Kunti Devi, Bhaktivinoda Goswami Maharaj has written a beautiful book, amazing book, The Healing Prayers. And he says in his, what are we to make of this prayer? Where Kunti Devi says, Vipada Shantuta Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yasyat Punar Bhava Darshanam. Give me more miseries. We all know this famous prayer. But Maharaj says here something very beautiful. What are we to make of this prayer? It appears to defy common sense, isn't it? It's for a common man on a street, if we go and say, Kunti Maharani, one of the greatest devotees of the Lord, she's saying, give me more miseries, and the person says, hey, hang on, I don't want to associate with you. It's, what are we talking about? But Maharaj gives a very beautiful insight of this. It appears to defy common sense. Which sane person would ask God to send more dangers into their life? It is difficult for us to sincerely thank Him for the problems He has already sent us. Often when we try, we are not convincing. As exemplified by one of the poets in Russia, he talks about. And then later on he says, so what was wrong with Kunti Devi? Does she defy common sense? If we ponder the prayer, we will see a higher common sense behind it. In it, Queen Kunti shares her experience of happiness, though we will find it difficult to grasp because we have no such experience. Something really, it's an eye-opener when Maharaj is giving that commentary on Kunti Devi's prayer. So then he says, although many set off on a quest of that happiness, few find it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why? What prevents us from gaining unobstructed, pure spiritual happiness? The answer is disappointingly simple. Our persistent hope for material happiness. Since it rests on actual experience of some kind of happiness, it is difficult to relinquish. It is a hope that dies last and prevents us from concentrating on the search of God for God. Shukadev Goswami describes our unfortunate predicament, and he explains it very beautifully later. So this is something related to what we are discussing today. So I thought of bringing that from Maharaj's book. Healing Prayers by Bhaktivinoda Goswami Maharaj. Bhaktivinoda Goswami Maharaj. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to make one comment on the Prabhu is saying about the faith of an atheist and the faith of a devotee.
Yeah.
In Prabhupada's introduction in the Sri Shapanishad, because I mean, many people on the street that come across this, why should we believe in God? Prabhupada very nicely explains, a scientist says this world is created by a big bang. So we as spiritualists will say, who created the chemicals for your big bang and who ignited it? So the scientist will say, we don't know. So then he'll happily say to the spiritualist then, so who do you think created this world? So the personalist will say, we think God created this world. And they'll say, well, who created your God? Which is a fair question, because everything comes from something. So we'll say, no one created God. God's always been there, and everything comes from Him. So the scientist will say to the spiritualist that, see, you've concocted a God to solve this problem. Yeah, but it's just it's a figment of imagination. So you say, see, Mr. Scientist, this is Prabhupada's argument.
Yeah.
See, Mr. Scientist, you're saying this world is created by chemicals and you don't know who ignited them. Yeah? So that's your faith. And our faith is that God has created this world. Yeah?
Yeah.
We're saying, now, if you're a real scientist, he says, then there's a hypothesis, there's an experiment, and then you draw a conclusion. So our experiment is that you're the soul, and the nature of the soul is to love and serve God. That's our that's our hypothesis.
Yeah.
And our experiment is, if you serve the Lord with love, that he'll reveal himself to you.
Yes, yes.
So we say, why not try the experiment of serving the Lord with love and then draw your own conclusion? Say, in this age, the easiest way, what's your name?
Prayagraj Das. Prayagraj Das.
So if I was to call out Prayagraj Das, Prayagraj Das, Prayagraj Das, you'll get very happy after some time, no? So instead of calling out your name, why don't I call out Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. And if God is really there, and I show him a picture of the Paramatma in the Isha, then surely he'll reciprocate if he's your friend. Try the experiment if you're a real scientist, and then draw your own conclusion. Because the nature of the soul, it has consciousness,
yes.
So it experiences things, just like the conversation we're having right now. If it makes sense, you try it as an experiment, and then you can find out for yourself.
Sure.
That is
thank you.
Prabhupada's argument to... Yeah. To a scientist,
yes,
to find out for themselves, you know.
Yeah.
Just a comment. That's all.
Sure, sure. Thank you for sharing that. It's because scientists' eternity is the main idea in our sampradaya in a spiritual life. For science, there is nothing called eternal. Means that eternity is based on the time, whereas the in our case, the cyclical time is also eternal. It's one of the energies of the Lord. So there is a fundamental difference about the concepts, understanding of concepts between science and spirituality. And that's the gap we need to discuss or bridge, have a bridge first, and then we can have further discussions.
The other important point is that you cannot understand God with this.
Yes,
you have to experience God.
Yes.
So we're saying, try the experiment and see if you experience him.
Yeah, logically, janma karma chame divyam. Divya means beyond logic. Means we cannot understand God by our logic. That he's eternal, but still he takes birth. And how can it be possible? Yeah, agree. Any other question, or we can stop here? Okay, thank you very much.